Up North News with Pat Kreitlow is a product of Courier Newsroom and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, here we are. And good morning. It's Wednesday, the 10th of August, the day after the primary election in Wisconsin. We now know who is on the ballot, and we now know who is on the ballot in all the races. There was nothing that was too close to call. The winners were the winners, same as they've always been in Wisconsin after an election day. Welcome to Wisconsin's Coffee Break. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Luke Mathers is here. You can reach the show at 715-388-7155 or email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. I guess the headline to start with, the way that I put it in my story for Up North News, the headline reads as such: Connecticut businessman Tim Michaels will run for Wisconsin governor after defeating Rebecca Clefish. Tim Michaels, the wealthy Connecticut businessman with no elected experience, scattershot Wisconsin residency, and the endorsement of a twice impeached and legally challenged former president, will be the Republican Party nominee, attempting to unseat Democratic Governor Tony Evers in November. Tuesday's primary win by Michaels, who reportedly spent at least $10 million of his own funds in his brief but rapid rise, brings a once high-flying Rebecca Clefish, the former lieutenant governor, crashing to earth as her party embraces the extremism that also nearly brought down the Wisconsin Assembly Speaker on Tuesday night. But let's start with the governor's race. With more than 95% of the estimated vote counted, Michael's lead over Clefish is 5 points, 47% to 42%. That's a margin of about 37,000 votes out of nearly 700,000 cast by Republican primary voters statewide. Clefish actually topped Michaels in the counties all around Milwaukee and Madison and Green Bay and Wausau. But if you look at the other 60-some counties as a percentage of each county's vote, the margin in each county, Michaels absolutely pummeled Clefish all across rural Wisconsin. There were also a handful of primaries in legislative districts. None had the attention or election night drama of the 63rd Assembly District, where Speaker Robin Voss narrowly defeated right-wing challenger Adam Steen by about 250 votes out of some 10,000 votes that were cast. Voss, as you know, had tried to cast doubts on the certified results of the 2020 presidential election, even authorizing a very costly Keystone Cops-like probe from former State Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman. But still, Voss was not seen by supporters of former President Donald Trump as aggressive enough in trying to overturn your votes, the will of Wisconsin voters. And Gableman himself, in a late surprise, supported Adam Steen, Voss's opponent. So when Voss was asked after he declared victory about Michael Gableman afterwards, Voss referred to Gableman, he called him an embarrassment to the state. That's one way to, I mean, talk about a bad hire. You hired this guy. You announced that he was going to do this impartial investigation, but you announced it at the Republican State Convention in 2021. And all you've done is cost taxpayers more than $1 million. Multiple court cases where you, Speaker Voss, have been found in contempt, or Gableman was found in contempt for withholding records that belong to the public. Sounds a lot like a president and records down at Mar-a-Lago. So, you know, apples don't fall far from the tree. And now Voss is saying, you know, Gableman's an embarrassment. If only there were somebody who could do something about that. If only the guy who hired Gableman, who is now, you know, newly emboldened by winning his primary election, might have the testicular fortitude to do something about this. We'll just have to see what Robin Voss does with Michael Gableman. Back to our gubernatorial race here. Again, this fever that's been spreading across the right side of the political spectrum, both Michaels and Clefish falsely claimed that the 2020 presidential election was rigged, a lie that Trump has been pushing in an effort to overturn his loss to Biden. But, you know, Michaels first said that decertifying the 2020 results, which again is not a thing, he said that that was not a priority. But then with Trump's endorsement and coming to Wisconsin, Michaels switched. He flip-flopped and said, well, everything is on the table. And of course, he is still talking about dismantling the bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission. So Michaels' message will feature a lot of tough on crime rhetoric. He's the one who one of his first ads had to say, you know, it's not racist to criticize, you know, illegal immigrants. It's the old, you know, I'm not a racist, but that your uncle would say. But despite that tough on crime rhetoric, he would not have any of that tough talk about whether President Trump has broken the law. Instead, he referred to the search warrant execution at Mar-a-Lago as, quote, overzealous prosecution at the Trump estate. Meanwhile, it is Michael's own estate that will raise questions over the next 90 days. It was reported by a conservative news outlet back in May that Michaels has spent much of the past 9 years living in both a New York City penthouse and a $17 million mansion in Connecticut, where his children were all attending high school. So walking a precise legal line, Michaels has reacted by claiming he had Wisconsin residency for at least 183 days a year in 8 of those past 9 years in order to still vote and pay taxes in Wisconsin, even though his wife claimed less than a year ago their Connecticut home when she was making a political donation. So there's a lot we're going to have to say about the governor's race, about what Governor Evers has done and said, what Tim Michaels is saying that he will do. And then we have an entire Senate race to talk about now that it's official, Mandela Barnes taking on Republican incumbent Ron Johnson. And more results and reaction all on the way. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be right back.